Hello, fellow Kentuckians and other friends, and welcome to a new edition of my Old Kentucky Podcast. My name is Robert Connie, and joining me, as always, is Jasmine Smith. Jasmine, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Robert. This is our first 2019 edition of my Old Kentucky Podcast.
Right, but that's a lie because we're actually recording in 2018.
I know, we
yeah,
are.
We actually just finished recording last week's episode, and we're doing it again. So if there's any like major news breaking, like if we have a new Speaker of the House or something,
sorry guys,
sorry about you. So we are recording this the day after Christmas, December the 26th, but we're going to be releasing this early in 2019 as a primer on Kentucky's legislature. So we have actually done this in the past before, a couple years ago.
But we have a lot of new listeners since then.
And also things have changed. There's different people who are in leadership. There's different ways that things are running because back then when we made it, the Republicans had not yet taken control. And let's be real, Jasmine, we are better at this and understand it better.
I think so.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like I'm about the same.
No, you're not.
Okay.
You're significantly better, and so am I. We after having paid attention to this every week for 2 years, we know a lot more about this than we did back then. So we're going to talk a little bit about how Kentucky's legislature operates, how it works. Use this throughout the rest of the session to refer back to if you need to understand how something might work. So without any further ado, Jasmine, tell us about Kentucky's General Assembly.
All right, so as with the United States government, every state government, I'm pretty sure at least, and many other places around the globe, the legislature of the Commonwealth of Kentucky is determined by the state constitution.
Right.
Okay, so Kentucky has had four different constitutions, and that is kind of a long story for a different day, but you should definitely read and learn about that.
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll do an episode about it one day.
I actually read James Higdon's book about Portland, and they actually talked about the third constitution at length a little bit, which is also an interesting story. But we're on our fourth, so that's a whole different
thing. Right. The most recent constitution, the fourth one, and the one that has authority now, was ratified in 1892. And they needed a new one then because of, you know, the end of the Civil War and the end of slavery.
Right.
So the Constitution sets out a bicameral legislature, also just like the U.S. government. And we have the state Senate and the state House of Representatives. The Senate was to be 38 people, and the House was to be 100 people. Senators have to be 30 years old and live in the state for 6 years and at least a year in their district. Representatives, however, only have to be 24 years old and live in the state for 2 years and one in the district.
Right. That gets challenged on a fairly regular basis, and sometimes those challenges are upheld. So.
Right. It's that one-year residence requirement that becomes an issue for people sometimes.
Yeah.
So leadership in the legislature isn't really provided for in the Constitution. The Speaker of the House is the only leadership position that's actually in the Constitution.
Yeah. So originally the Senate was to be led by the Lieutenant Governor, and that was actually the way it was for a very long time. So between 1892, when the Constitution was passed, and 1992, when a constitutional amendment was passed, that's who was in charge of the Senate, Lieutenant Governor. But after that,
full
century. But in 1992, a constitutional amendment was passed to let the Senate elect their own president. So, Jasmine, you can see how this got to be kind of weird. Also, before then, the lieutenant governor was an elected position, not elected with the governor. So they were elected separately.
Okay. And so it wasn't a ticket.
It wasn't a ticket. Yeah. And, you can see how this could be really weird now. So you could have like a Democratic lieutenant governor and a Republican Senate. Of course, Democrats ruled the state mostly of the time that that constitution was in effect. So that really didn't come into play too much. But you did have like the legislature who had like a totally different idea, and then an executive, the lieutenant governor, who, you know, might have differed substantially from the legislature itself as to what the priorities should be. But anyways, right now the president of the Senate is Robert Stivers, who's the second Republican president of the Senate since they took over in 2000. David Williams was the first. So the structure of the state legislature means that the majority party has two extra leaders. The majority party elects the Senate president and the president pro tem in the Senate. So we already said Robert Stivers is the Senate president. David Givens is returning to the role of Senate pro tem after an absence to take care of his wife. So he was in that role. He stepped down, and Senator Jimmy Higdon was the president pro tem. Senator Higdon has stepped down, and now David Givens is returning to leadership. In the House, the majority party elects the Speaker of the House, who right now will be David Osborne upon the return of the legislature at the beginning of the year.
Who was kind of like an unofficial speaker for a while.
The acting speaker, but his technical term in the past legislature was the Speaker pro tem.
Right.
And now he's officially going to be the speaker, and the Republicans are electing David Mead to the position of Speaker pro tem next year. So those are the top two leadership posts in each chamber, but both parties in each chamber elect three leaders. So the majority party has three plus two. The minority party just has three. So in the Senate, the Democrats elected Morgan McGarvey to be their leader. Previous to that, it had been Roy Jones of Pikeville, but he left his position in the Senate to become the Pike County Judge Executive. Johnny Ray Turner is going to be elected to the caucus chair, and Senator Dennis Parrott is going to be the whip. So Senator Parrott actually was in leadership before, but the other two people were not. And Senator Parrott is the only returning leader for the Democrats in the Senate that's coming back. The leadership is almost totally turning over for the Democrats in the Senate. So for the Republicans in the Senate, the majority leader will be Damon Thayer. He's the top Republican who's not in those top two spots, the Speaker and the Speaker pro tem. Damon Thayer has been in leadership for a good long while now. Mike Wilson has also been in leadership for a while. He is the whip in the Senate for the Republicans. Julie Rackey Adams is the caucus chair, and she is a new leader for the Senate this term. So she will be new to this spot when the legislature turns over at the beginning of the year, or, you know, in a couple of days when you listen to this podcast. So, okay, in the House, the Democratic leader is Rocky Adkins, who has been serving in that position since Greg Stumbo was defeated for re-election in 2016, but has been a member of leadership for a long time. He is, of course, also running for governor. Two new leaders have been elected to serve with Representative Adkins this year. Firstly, Derek Graham is going to be the caucus chair, the first African-American and the first minority person to ever be elected to leadership in Kentucky's government. He is from Frankfort. And Joni Jenkins is going to be the whip. Joni Jenkins, we're big fans of her. You know that. She is going to be in leadership as the whip. So for the GOP, Bam Carney is the new floor leader, and Suzanne Miles will be the new caucus chair. These are both new, and also Chad McCoy is the whip. So I think actually all of those three leaders are brand new to leadership this year. Of course, they do have some stability because they have those top two slots, and David Osborne and David Mead have been in leadership in the past. But yes, those bottom three leaders are brand new to the Republicans this year. So that's who is the leadership in the legislature.
All right. So sessions of the General Assembly are annual, but that's only since the Constitution was amended in 2000.
Right.
The assembly begins on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in January. So not always just the first Tuesday. Has to be after the first Monday.
Right.
And cannot extend beyond April 15th, Tax Day, or March 30th. So January 8th this year, which is the latest day possible.
Right, because it's the first Tuesday after the first Monday. Yeah, this is the only time that actually comes into play, because the first Tuesday is January the 1st. So it'll be January the 8th.
On even-numbered years, the legislature holds a budget or a long session. And we've talked about that quite a bit before, that only certain bills can be passed in long sessions because they involve the budget. Those sessions last 60 legislative days. So during longer sessions, the legislature is to come up with a budget for the state that lasts for 2 years. So we've talked about the 2018 budget a lot during the last session. So you're familiar with the shenanigans associated with passing it during this past year, but there have been plenty other crazy budget stories in Kentucky, not just 2018.
Right. So in 2002 and 2004, the legislature actually didn't even come up with a budget at all.
Oops.
Yeah. So and people didn't really know what to do with that. So during those years, Paul Patton and Ernie Fletcher, who were in charge, they used what they called informal spending plans to run the state. So you know, the governor gives a budget address where they come out with their budget, and that's basically what they used. So, but in 2005, the Supreme Court of Kentucky ruled that only the items laid out in the Constitution are allowed to function. So that doesn't even include the Kentucky State Police. So if there's no budget passed, you know, if all the things that are laid out in the Constitution are allowed to function, but anything else is not. So no one really knows what that means.
That could have been bad.
It would be very bad. So nobody's really sure what would happen post 2005 if the state didn't pass a budget, and the state's passed a budget in each of the even numbered years since then, come hell or high water. But another funny story I came across when I was researching this. So in 2008, Greg Stumbo returned to the legislature. So before that, he'd served two terms as attorney general, and he was running as Bruce Lunsford's running mate. So Greg Stumbo was running for lieutenant governor as the running mate of Bruce Lunsford in 2007 and, of course, lost in the primary. And then in 2008, he returned to the legislature, and that was, of course, an even-numbered year. And he kind of was elected on a special election. It was kind of weird. Like, the guy that was serving in that spot, he was like, hey, you need to step down so I can run. And he was like, okay, Mr. Stumbo, that sounds good to me. And then immediately inserted himself into the budget negotiations. He, instead of Speaker Jody Richards, negotiated the budget with then-Senate President David Williams, and then got it passed. And at the time, Jody Richards was like, you know, we're really glad to have the help of Greg. And Representative Stumbo has a lot of support from all the people in our caucus, so we're glad that he took the lead on this. I definitely don't feel shaky about my role as Speaker, no problem whatsoever. Then subsequently, in 2009, Jody Richards was outed as Speaker by Greg Stumbo. So that's how Greg Stumbo became Speaker the second time. So there you go. Interesting story. Also, I was reading about this. There were 65 Democrats in the House of Representatives when Greg Stumbo was elected leader, which, I mean, that's even more Democrats than there are Republicans now. How things can change.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So earlier I mentioned the 60 legislative days. So legislative days are days in which the legislature is actually in session and allowed to vote on things. After the session begins, each body can temporarily adjourn itself for up to 3 days. So that means that sessions typically take much longer than the actual days that they're allotted.
We will not be out by the end of January. Yeah.
Right. So while the bodies are adjourned, there's always some kind of deal making and negotiating going on. In odd numbered years, the legislature comes back into session for 30 legislative days so they can address any issue that doesn't raise revenue or appropriate funds unless it's agreed to by a 3/5 majority.
Right.
So, you know, this has implications for things like charter schools because no taxes can be raised to do this. Typically, during odd-numbered years, the legislature comes into session at the beginning of the year, kind of organizes itself, and then adjourns for about a month. The last odd-numbered session, this only happened after the legislature surprisingly passed 5 new bills.
Yeah, they usually, like, I think, and that was kind of what everybody was expecting, especially on the Democratic side, that they were just going to organize themselves, adjourn like they usually do, and then come back and have these big fights. But yeah, the Republicans were like, nah, we're going to go ahead and pass these 5 right now and then adjourn ourselves for a month. And that was pretty crazy. Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about committees. All of the work of the legislature runs through committees, and standing committees are permanently established by statute, and legislation has to run through one of them to get to the full legislature. So committees hear from supporters and opponents of many bills, and they can amend them before sending them to the floor. So committees can give a favorable or an unfavorable report, and the Senate can send bills to the floor without a recommendation, but it's unusual for a bill to receive anything besides a favorable recommendation, okay? So, and then the floor leadership of the full legislative body can make a decision about which bills they want to hear. If a bill doesn't get a favorable recommendation, it almost certainly will not pass. And also standing committees can decline to send a bill back to the legislative body.
Right. Yeah. It almost is always like it either gets a favorable report or nothing happens as the most common things.
Yeah.
It can be that they get like an unfavorable report if like the chairman of a committee really, really doesn't like something, but the floor leadership really wants something to come out of the committee, and that can be like a deal that they strike. Okay, we'll send it to the floor, but we're going to give it an unfavorable report. That is exceedingly unusual, though.
Yes. The Committee on Committees is the most powerful committee of all, which makes sense from the name, right? This committee is made up of the legislative leaders, which is why the majority party gets 2 more leaders than the minority. And they're the ones doing the important work of selecting which committee gets which bill, and they get to select the members and the leaders of each committee. So the standing committees are, you're going to make me read all of these, agriculture, appropriations and revenue, banking and insurance, committees, economic development, tourism and labor, education, enrollment, health and welfare, judiciary, licensing, occupations and administrative regulations, natural resources and energy, the rules committee, state and local government, transportation, and veterans, military affairs, and public protection.
Right.
So then appropriations and revenue, or A&R, also has standing subcommittees, and those are the economic development, tourism, and labor, education, general government, finance, and public protection, human resources, justice and judiciary, and transportation.
Right, and some of those A&R subcommittees are even more powerful than some of the standing committees themselves, because they're the ones that kind of determine the spending for, you know, like the education A&R subcommittee is one of the more important committees of all. The education standing committee deals with like curriculum and stuff, but the A&R subcommittee on education deals with like how much money.
The money.
Right, so that's really, really important. So the last thing we want to talk about is the Legislative Research Commission. The LRC, as it's called, is an incredibly important thing that the legislature has. The LRC is the staff of the legislature. I guess technically it's actually the leadership of both chambers of the legislature, but whenever anybody says the LRC, they're actually referring to the staff. And that staff includes policy analysts, fiscal analysts, lawyers, etc., who do research and analysis on bills and also do bill drafting as requested by members of the legislature. You know, the legislators themselves, they have a part-time job of doing the legislating, and they depend heavily on the LRC for information about the financial and other impacts on bills in the state. And this gets to be like a really interesting job if you're an LRC staffer, because somebody can come to you with a very crazy idea for a bill. Like, we want to outlaw all abortions, for example. That's a bill that gets filed often. And the LRC people can be like, this is definitely not going to hold up in court, but I will give you a fiscal analysis of that because that's my job. And so they have in the past really, really valued the independence of their organization. So just as a point of reference, if you've ever heard of the Congressional Budget Office or the CBO in the federal government, the LRC in Kentucky is similar. Like I said, until very recently, the LRC has been really fiercely independent politically. They take that very, very seriously. And my experience with working with their members, which mostly happened in graduate school for me when I was in policy school, they're absolutely above reproach when it comes to playing fair between Democrats and Republicans. And even they even had a video explaining their existence named The Legacy of Independence. This whole group came into existence after a massive scandal where like several of Kentucky legislators went to jail for you know, improper use of funds and a lot of bad stuff. And so they really value their independence. But this fall, we talked about this at length, the legislative GOP leadership, now who has unified control of the government, they fired David Byerman, who is the director of the LRC, and they installed their own chiefs of staff as the legislative leadership. That is not good.
Certainly seems more partisan.
Right. And no one knows really yet what this means for the LRC, but it does seem like it's significantly more partisan than it used to be. It's not good. And that's something that I'm absolutely going to be watching for in the short session, whether the Democrats have more trouble working with staff. That's something that hasn't been the case in the past. And we'll see how much power the actual staff has of the LRC to stop what they may see as unnecessarily or inappropriately partisan work by staff of the legislature. So there you go. Jasmine, that is the Kentucky legislature. Do you think we covered everything?
I think so.
Me too. So how can people get a hold of us?
They can find us on Twitter at @myoldkypod. They can like our Facebook page. You can find our podcast on the podcast app of your choice. You can subscribe to our newsletter, which comes out on Fridays, at forwardky.com/email, and you can subscribe to their other newsletters as well. And finally, you can sponsor our creation on Patreon for as little as $1 a month at patreon.com/myoldkentuckypodcast.
All right, everybody, thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.